Okay, there we go. You should all have received a couple of short documents. First of all, there's a description of the panel that you will have. In Spanish, it would read Panel sobre las competencias del estudiante en línea. Anyone who doesn't have it, raise their hand, and Katsuaki will have extra copies. The other document that I hope you will have received in Spanish is called Sondaje de Pstipi sobre el Estudiante en Línea, and in English it is an executive summary on the Pstipi Online Learner Survey. You're out. But everyone has the documents. If not, they can certainly be provided after the session. So you still have one. Okay. Those are very brief documents. The session is only 40 minutes long, so you don't have too much time. And you may do some multitasking while we are working. You may read through the documents, pick out a couple of keywords here and there while we are working. The panel, as you could see, sitting around the table, is a distributed panel. They're sitting at places where you might not have expected them. We deliberately chose a round table configuration so as to facilitate a discussion that involves everyone, not just the panelists. The panelists are here to sort of start it off with some observations from their own experience, but really this is intended to be a dialogue about what would make an online learner successful, what kind of competencies does that person need to have. To structure the discussion, I had formulated four basic questions that you find in the description of the panel document, this one-page document that you have received. I also put them up on the wall there in both Spanish and English. So first of all, we'd like to exchange thoughts on what you really see as key competencies for online learners, and to reflect on that from the perspective, well, from your perspective, obviously, and hopefully that will be a perspective that includes your experience both as a learner and as a teacher. You may have been in both roles, and many people are in both roles. Even if they have never been a professional teacher, while you are a student, in your interaction with your fellow students, you often take on a teaching role. You often take on a facilitating role for your fellow students. So that is also teaching behavior. You'd like to mix a little bit those concepts of teaching and learning. So the key competencies, then the second question, how are those competencies dependent on the kind of learning environment that you're working in? Differently structured learning environments may require different competencies. Different sets of competencies may prompt different learning environments to be created. Third question, related to the second one, you're not the only person in that learning environment. There are other people there. When you are the learner, there are your fellow learners, your peers, and there's usually at least one instructor. And you interact with those other actors. So your competencies as a learner will depend on those other actors. How do they act in that environment? How does that influence your competency as a learner? And then the fourth area of concern, and this is all only in 40 minutes time, is the wider environment that surrounds the learning environment. You may be a student in which creates a learning environment for your particular set of courses, but that is not the only environment that you have as a resource for your learning. there are all kinds of outside resources that you will bring to bear on the quality of your learning. You may have a circle of friends or members of your family, or access to media, or access to libraries, and that sort of things. Access to the internet, obviously. So you may want to refer to experiences in that regard as well. Those four areas. I've tried to visualize this in a small graphic here on the wall. If this is the learning environment, the clothesline, this is what has been structured by those people who design the learning environment. There are you as a student, and there are all the other actors. I have deliberately not distinguished the teacher from the other students. They're all actors in the environment, but they take on different roles with different emphases. So I'd like you to think about how those other actors, how they're going to influence your behavior as a student. And then there's this wider context. And also in the wider context, you find actors that you may decide, not those who structure your learning experience, that you may decide, hey, I'm going to draw that person in, or I'm going to access that particular book or medium to enhance my learning. Now, this is a very fluid context. You can make it as broad as you like. It can be the whole world, can be just your little village, whatever it is. So to start the discussion off, I would like to ask my fellow panelists to say a few words addressing those four questions briefly, just 2 to 3 minutes. And let me just ask who would like to start from among those panelists, those Desiderio, Assunta, Federico, Tony, and Katsuaki. Would like to take a first cut? Yeah, please. Oh, yes, then you have to switch on the overhead projector. Now, that may take some time to warm up. And if so, someone else may actually want to start speaking who doesn't need an overhead projector. Tony?
Yes, I don't need an overhead projector. So
we let Tony speak first, and then you take on after the overhead projector warms up. Tony?
I'm going to be provocative and suggest that there are no competencies required of an online learner that you would not require of any student in any learning environment. And the reason I say that is that we do not examine online students differently from our face-to-face students. We don't ask them to have different competencies than our face-to-face students. Now, the issue is here, instructional design. You then have to design your online courses so that all students can take them without having to have any prior competencies other than the ability to boot up their computer and click on a button.
Very good. Thank you very much for making that point. speaks to my heart. Oh, please.
Assume. This is the population graph in Spain, and in my group age is this one marked with black. I'm 50s, and my focus group is a 35% working population, who is from 45 to 65. In Spain. And for me it's important these dates. In Spain, the person of the reduction of new technologies in 2002 only 17%. And the last year is 44%. In the households is very low internet.
And by that you mean computer plus internet?
Yeah.
That's new technology.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my work path with the new technologies. In my 40s, I took the decision in my workplace to introduce the new technologies. I'm a nurse director in a school. 50 years after, I started my training in new technologies. And 2000, my first contact with learning. And 2003, my 50s, I began to work professionally in the field of online entertainment. For me, it's important because I'm is the same for the age group, my age group in here. My profile: active professionally, family responsibilities. I don't have more time for to work two times. A lot of previous work experience and in learning without new technologies. And for me, what is important, the relationship with technology, with other actors, and changes in my work habits. Key competencies for my learners. I think the most important is digital literacy. Write and communication in the skills. And for me, is the learning skills, for me, is was difficult to identify self-learning styles and strategies. With some comparison, pre-selling unknown strategies. I don't know my own strategies when I start formatting online. I, at the first, I think, which is my strategies, and first, keep another strategies online. Team working in internet skills. I usually work with team in one-to-one, but it's very different to work in internet. And taking responsibility for their own learning. How depends on the learning environment. For me, it's important the relationship with technology. At first, for me, I had a lack of knowledge about technology. I had fear. My fear is fear. I afraid for the technology itself. I was worried because I think I make these values disappear. I would get wrong. After that, I become my answer. But sometimes I need two or three times the same thing for para aprender a hacerlo. I understand I always need to do something two or three times before doing it right. En presencial, no me pasa. My question is, are we aiming our attention just at computer experts or an entire working population? My colleagues, is the same or no? I think I compare me and our colleagues. I understand both. How depend of the competencies of other actors, the teachers? Better availability for me. I had a positive experience when contacting with them, always responding to my questions, but no active, no proactive in general. The other students, I found in the Open University of Catalonia high level of solidarity, but high level of competitiveness, and the level of class usually is a level of more brilliant students. Then the students have more brilliant have a problem because I become sometimes injured when participating in open forums in terms of this competitiveness. For me it's no problem to contact one-to-one, but in the forums, in open forums, for me is a difficult, no? Because I think yes, and you.
Okay.
My question is, should we stimulate this competitiveness or give more space to incorporate all the students.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, whole day event on the other contents. I'm a nurse, I'm working in the health system. Is not teaching, but work environments. It's different, I think, the teaching environments, not teaching environments. The relationships on in work contents. Our own change all of my habits. And I have more experience, I have more change.
Very good.
And my question is, do we adequately stimulate people with low level digital literacy to start using new technologies for learning?
Yeah, thank you very much. And looks like there's some tension between what you were saying and what Tony just said. You put a lot of emphasis on technology, and you have reasons for that, and I'm sure Tony has his reasons for making his remarks. But we'll bring this out further in the following discussion. Who's next? Yes, Desiderio.
My name is Desiderio Desi. I'm working currently as a face-to-face teacher in Madrid, high school in Madrid. And I would like to tell you what I think about these four questions from my experience as a beginner online learner a year and a month ago. A year and a half ago. I have written the question because my English is not so good. So from my experience, the most important competencies for an online learner are be able to distinguish different kinds of information, be capable to organize the information the online student needs, and to select and manage the information needs from the relevant one. These three competencies can be summarized as the competencies to analyze and synthesize, which necessarily means critical thought and intuition, to reveal questions and anticipate answers. Why these competencies are, from my own experience, the most important ones for a new online learner? I consider the learning as a way to make connections between the information we have just acquired and the information we need to take root. Most of the information is currently in the web. The web is the main source in which we plan to learn in an online course. If we face the huge sum of data we find in the web, we can get some and the learning won't be done. It should be the answer to the question number four. We must focus the total information from a determined perspective. That's what an online course should be. The pedagogical and technical structure of an online course channels a huge quantity of data, reducing the number of information we need to be analyzed. The second context helps us to select, organize, and manage the information we need to be learned. This should be the answer to the question number three. Online student fellows and teachers help us to structure the selected information and allow us to deal with it, starting new connections which can make us learn. It should be the answer to the question number two. In conclusion, the most important competence for a beginner online learner, from my experience, is to be able to develop critical thought, select, organize, and manage web information. These competencies are the consequence of the broader context in which the online learning takes place. The second context, the pedagogical and technical structure, helps us to get this competence in a qualitative way, selects the information, the quantity of information we need. Online teachers and students help us to reach such a competency in a qualitative way from a point of view and a determined relationship with web information.
Very good. It seems you're less at odds with what Tony was saying. There are two left, Katsu and Federico.
I would like to ask a question here, which I don't expect to be answered. And my question is, how much money is spent in the world in teacher training for online environments? And how much money is spent on training the learner to know what is expected from him or from her in this new environment? That would be my initial question.
It's all in the economy.
We depend on economy, of course.
Yeah. Good points. Katsu.
Okay. In Japan, I'm a chair and a professor at the online university. We are teaching e-learning professionals. So I don't have any program at all how to motivate our students, because they are really wanted to learn the stuff that we provide. But that's not the typical case, I don't think. So it's when we talk about the online learner competencies, we are almost talking about a program of motivation. Is it a program of student or is it a program of teachers? Kind of competencies for online learners. Because once we decided to ask anything on the learner's point, then we would lack the design that should motivate the learners, or the, you know, manage the learners so that they can be successful in online learning. So it's a problem of which side is responsible, the learner or the teaching side. So that's a question. It's very necessary question. I think Tony raised the very critical question for both of these cities, and I thank for that. But when I'm very new to this STP board, and then when I joined this board, online learning learners project was going on. And Jan, as a former board director, was taking this part. And then this Robin, yeah, here. And then Michael Gordon, who is now in Mexico. They are the teams of how to formulate this online learner competence. And I was asked if I'm interested in this, and I sure it's interesting, no? Because now UBSTP has been talking about instructors' competencies, instruction designers' competencies, all from the provider side. But now we are talking about the competencies required for the learning side. And that's very interesting change. So I was, I decided to join this team. And then let me refer to your handout, the second piece of the handout. That's sort of executive summary. I can't read Spanish. Other competencies online learners would have to be able to succeed in the online learning environment. They say about the most rewarding experience is the flexibility of online learning environment, ability to interact with peers, learning independently, they are more rewarding experience. And what is the distracting features of online learning environment? Well, poor instructor presence. There's no dialogues with instructor, no faculty involvement, no management. Those are the things that distract their learning. Poor content course design. They wish the content to be more well designed. So those are the things that the online learner actually feels to be very effective in success. So those are the things that we need to care. We don't know where to go from now. We don't know if there is a set of competencies well enough to be established, or maybe we're asking too much on the learners. If it's a required competency or desired competencies, those are the things that we'd like to have some input from.
Thanks so much, Katsu. I must mention that these are preliminary results, as the document itself says. So don't take them seriously, but not too seriously. It's a limited part of the sample that we have been investigating. The study goes on. Survey is currently being carried out in Mexico. It's being passed on to people in Israel. Japan is still continuing the work. So it will certainly be enriched, but it's already interesting, as Katsu was saying, what he got out of it. And one of the things that struck me, if I may add my few comments to the as the sixth panelist, to what my colleague said, one of the things that struck me, and which seems to resonate with Tony's words, that the students themselves don't mention technology as an important issue. It comes sort of at the very end. So that assures me also. I would say from my own experience, I think that one of the opportunities that online learning has brought is the possibility to involve a much wider context than we used to do when still working in the traditional environment as face-to-face learners. If you wanted to involve people from outside your limited circle of professors in your learning, you would be limited by travel, for instance. You'd have to go great distances and you wanted to find someone who could really inspire you. I have personally quite a number of cases that contacted me, people who didn't know me, whom I didn't know, who just sent me an email, I'm working on this or that, and I see you have a similar interest, can we exchange some email on those particular issues? Very interesting that you can do that now at virtually no cost, as long as you can find someone willing to interact with you. And quite a few people, I think, are willing to do that. So exploration of this wider environment has become much easier, it's become much more accessible, and it requires some minimum skills, search skills particularly. Now, that's, I agree with Tony, search skills we also needed to have in a traditional environment. If you want to explore a library, that would have been as difficult, if not more difficult, than using your Google appropriately. So that's for the panelists themselves, but as I said at the beginning, we're all panelists here, so anyone who would like to intervene now from his or her own experience on those same questions or what people said here, please go ahead. We have another 10 minutes.
Could I,
if you want any more, yes,
make use of the word. It's come as a shock to me what you said, Tony, because actually, for everybody's knowledge, I'm working on my doctoral dissertation on the role of the online learner, supposedly based on a number of competencies. And here comes this man saying, there are no competencies. So apart from that, I will try to carry on with my dissertation, but it's very interesting you say that. Very interesting.
You just destroyed your dissertation.
Almost, yes, practically.
Do you want to explain, Tony?
No, I'm talking about an ideal situation, of course, where the programs are well designed, the professors are readily available to the students, and so on. And of course, that doesn't happen. We all know that online students often have to show more determination, more persistence, than they would if they were in a face-to-face environment. I'm not sure they're competencies, though. Again, we can argue what a competency is. They're more, to me, like personality traits. But my worry is the underlying assumption that learners must have competencies in order to study online. That I find worrying.
Interesting you bring that point up of personality traits, because I remember from the first presentation that we had this morning by Barbara, she excluded the personality traits from the competencies.
Yes.
And when that came up, my immediate gut reaction was, you can't really do that unless you define that as a competency. But well, perhaps the management of motivation can be seen as a competency, but it's an attitudinal thing and position that you take. What about all the others? What do you think? Roman?
I'm part of the online learner survey study team, and what my goal here is to actually engage you him to join us in this survey and actually participate and see what the survey looks like. My fear in any survey that looks like this is that I would only participate in it because I've had a bad experience and therefore we'll talk about it. And as much as if I go to TripAdvisor.com, I will complain, but how often do you actually see successes as against companies? So my kind of call to action for everybody, if you have time and you have people you'd like to send this to, shoot me an email. I'm Robbie@RobbieApp.com, very easy. And I will give you the link so that we can get more responses so that we balance that. Because we are, you know, we're not seeing all of it. Because, you know, the more survey data, the better it is, right? We know this. So it would be great to actually see that, because my fear has always been, would they just answer because they have a problem? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then it's too small a study. So we want to make sure that, you know, we have both sides. Please participate. Shoot me an email. And I'll do it in Spanish or whatever. Let me know.
I'm very much interested in all of these because we are in the Spanish National Business Education University. We've been like great effort in developing welcome programs for new students. And by you, all of you, and all the things that I've said. And for example, in some research we've done with postgraduate courses, online, just online courses, postgraduate courses, we found that doing some surveys at the beginning and at the end and trying to find out predictors of success or failure, we found out that, for example, capacities for planification, self-regulation, manage of time, organization, intrinsic motivation at the beginning, knowledge of the platform during the course, previous to be not afraid of new technologies, for example, people who weren't afraid at the beginning of facing new technologies, good interaction with the group during the course, or people that were looking properly for help, for support during the course, for example, asking tutors or going to the proper place to find out whatever they needed. So we found out that these were good predictors of success in an online course, although some of them are also good predictors of any students, any autonomous and self-related learner student. So what we do, what we try to do is first to develop the welcome programs for developing and training competences for new students and business education students. And we try to, for example, in some of the postgraduate courses where I am, is to develop always the first zero model or model one, which tries to get students familiarized with the environment and showing them how to interact and how to work on an online environment. So I think, yeah, a lot of things are interesting, but not the same.
Following with what you said, and also to reply to Tony, certainly my idea in this research or in this role of the online learner that I like to put forward is not to say you need these to study or you need these to learn online, but instead of that it would be something like, this has existed before, time management, metacognitive strategies, course-related skills, that existed before. But if you apply this, in this way, in this new environment, you learn better and your experience will be more satisfactory.
So in a sense you agree, there's not too much difference. It was all there,
yes.
But you start reinterpreting it in a different context. So, Tony?
Underlying this debate is a much more fundamental issue, and that is, have we changed teaching enough as a result of online learning to result in new competences that are appropriate for a knowledge-based society? And I would argue that we haven't. I mean, your point is a very good one, that there is a whole set of competencies now that people need in the workplace, how to find, manage information, etc. What we've done in most online courses is to take the classroom model and move it online. We haven't really changed the fundamental goals, the competencies we're trying to teach. We just try to teach them online as in the same way they taught face-to-face. And we haven't changed the competencies to take account of the new technology. And that's the challenge. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there may be competencies specific to online learning if we can come up with designs that really exploit the new technologies. Mm-hmm. But very, very few institutions are actually designing completely new courses that are not available, could not be delivered face to face.
Or if you develop attitudes like Desiderio was saying, that prompt students to become more selective and exploratory, that they go search for things and they find and they select and analyze if this is useful for their learning experience, start integrating it. This really means getting the context into the learning environments itself, and sort of blurring the boundaries between the two. And that would be a novelty, so to say, in comparison with the past.
I would like to add something else about what you have said before. When children are in school, in face-to-face school, they learn from the information they receive from the world. Teachers teach the students how to manage this kind of all this information. So when an online student wants to learn online, he needs to be able to manage a different the information from a different world, not the real world but the virtual world. So I think students need to be distracted to be able to do that, to manage this kind of new information. Sometimes they don't know how to manage. They, for example, my sons, they know how to click on the keyboard, they receive information from videotapes, TV, etc. But sometimes they don't know how to manage all this information. Maybe we need to teach them before they found this kind of learning. I mean, at least was my experience. It was very hard for me to manage such a huge quantity of information. I didn't know how to manage.
We have little time left, actually. We are on the dot of the hour already, but I've heard little reaction to Assunta's observations about the importance of technology and the experiences that she described of fear and becoming familiar. How important is this, actually? I recall as a child, I grew up in a family environment where there was no telephone in the beginning, and it came in at a certain time, and making my first telephone call instilled some fear in me. And then when at a later age I moved into a different language environment, having to speak Portuguese, so how do I make a telephone call in Portuguese? It was not just a matter of the language, but all of a sudden the technology in combination with that other language became threatening again. So I think there are some points in addressing this issue, but how important is it really?
I think it's important because we saw that if people didn't get familiar with the virtual environment, didn't success. So we should try to manage to develop ways to learn students to be familiar with that, so not to disturb the learning process.
Mm-hmm. So the technology should not be disrupted.
It's just an instrument. Uh-huh. So it shouldn't be disturbing the process of learning. So I think as time goes by, people are going to be more familiar and this will be open and all people will be very accustomed.
It's actually more than literacy, it's fluency. Technology fluency. At least that's what you assume if you want to really be effective as a learner. And be made to easily assume that people are fluent with technology.
And I think that also we have to take into account that we have to make our learning environment more easy to use. So I think that we have to give the importance that has to all that possibility to usability and human computer interaction in order not to only make the learners learn how to use the environment, but also make the environment easier to be used.
So it should be intuitive in the first place.
But I think it's always difficult to do a design that could be interesting too. Easy to work for people that are not native, but attractive enough for people who need new technology to learn.
There is another point that is very important, that we have to be aware that there is not one online learner, but there are different kinds of online learners.
Yeah.
So we have to find also the way to personalize, to be flexible and
in a sense, like in the face-to-face classroom, there are some people who are terribly uncomfortable in a face-to-face classroom, where they want to sit at the back of the class, or they're very hesitant to venture questions or observations or whatever may stimulate their learning, and for some of them, it becomes easier to do so in a distance education situation, in an online environment. So indeed, there's a lot of variation across learners. There's no single learner and there's no single online learner either. Well, Tony?
I think Sun's point about that age group 40 to 60 was very important, because I think there is a resistance to technology in that group, more so than in other groups. And it's a very important group now, because with the demographic changes we're seeing, we need people in that group to continue to learn, and they can only do that by learning at a distance, by going to online courses. So I think we should be doing, as institutions, more to make it easier for people in that age group to use technology. Maybe that is an instance where you need a face-to-face environment first, so they become comfortable with using the technology before they go fully online. So I think it's a very good point.
And as you bring in demography, there's the age differences, but you get cultural differences thanks to online learning. So that's another area probably where you're in need of thinking about the competency of learners in how they interact with all that variation in their environment.
In fact, Asunta's real account made me think, because I think it's very real, made me remember his famous Kennedy sentence. And my question now would be something like, I'm not going to get students to do something for me, but instead I'm going to ask myself, what can I do for my students today?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as a student, but what can I do for my learning environment? Yeah, very good. Well, I would want to go on for several more hours if you want to, but the schedule determines that it's time. It's more than time. Coffee should be waiting for us. Coffee at tea. So I wish to thank you all for your contributions to this dialogue, and hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I don't know how I'm going to get out.
I know.
See you.